941 Action News, your new home of the Chiefs.
Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on 4th and 1.
So, anyways, with that, time, George.
Welcome to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, Chiefs are 3-0. You feeling pretty good about that?
Nah, I mean, it's a good start. We'll see where we'll see where things go when January rolls around. But this is the fourth time in 7 seasons under Andy Reid that the Chiefs have started 3-0. The previous 3 times they made the playoffs.
So are you predicting a playoff berth guaranteed? Jacobs guarantees a playoff berth.
Those words and that sentence was not used, but thank you, Todd, for attempting.
All right. Well, you know what? I mean, a lot of people are pointing to this game as, you know, there was a lot of hype surrounding the quarterback matchup. There were a lot of people expecting this to be the best test for the Chiefs defense, and looking at this as kind of a litmus test for how serious a contender the Chiefs really are. And when you look at the final score, 33-28, I think you get the impression it was a close game. Boy, it sure didn't feel close when the Chiefs were up 30-13, though, and then kind of took their foot off the gas, did it?
No, there was a chance there for the defense, especially the secondary, to get some interceptions, for the defense to get really aggressive and to stop it once and for all and end that game. So, I mean, they had their opportunities to really put distance in that game to where if they really were pushing it, they could have easily been up 44-13 or 44-10 or whatever it was at that point. And they could have put 50 on them if they were really pushing it and firing on all cylinders and everybody wasn't injured. But that's the NFL.
Do you worry at all? I mean, because this is the Chiefs kind of took their foot off the gas against Jacksonville, and that game got a little bit closer than you'd expect toward the end. Chiefs didn't score in the second half at Oakland week 2. Is that a sign of potential trouble, or do you look at it as Andy just trying to, an abundance of caution on his part, trying to play smart and play complimentary football?
I think they're trying to find their identity on both sides of the football right now, and I think they're trying to find their way of what works for them, and I think there's things that they're wanting to work on in both run defense and pass rush and in their rushing offense. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they have time to work on, and they have room to work on in some extent. So I think they're still trying to create what they're going to be as a football team, and I don't think they're anywhere close to where they'll be when January rolls around, obviously.
Speaking of run defense, gave up 200 yards, gave up 6.3 yards per average, or yards per carry average. Got manhandled there on the opening drives of both the first and the second half. Was this a step back for the defense, or is it, just maybe a adjustment of expectations, or is this? I mean, look, Baltimore, give the Chiefs credit for this. Baltimore had outrushed everybody this year by at least 100 yards, and had outrushed a number of opponents in a row. I can't remember how many it is going back to last year. They only outrushed the Chiefs by 63, so that streak came to an end. The Chiefs actually held their own a little bit in the run game, but is it worrisome that the run defense got gashed pretty good?
No, I mean, the Ravens are one of the top four rushing offenses in the NFL, so I was expecting this coming into the game. That's why it really wasn't one of my game plans, because I was like, they're not going to be able to stop it right now just because of how multidimensional the Ravens rushing attack is. Teams don't face that option style every week. They don't face the where you have to account for 3 different people on the same play. Teams just routinely don't face that unless they're going against the Chiefs sometimes, and the Chiefs have had success with that over the years. The Ravens they're a unique blend to where they have all this read option aspect, the zone reads, all that type of stuff, but then they have a power blocking run offensive line in that regard, if you want to phrase it that way. It was a terrible phrase on my part, but
you're an eloquent wordsmith.
You know what? I struggled right there, but I pushed through it like the Chiefs did at times during the game.
That's right. Battle. Yeah, I like the fight.
Battling through it. And I mean, the Raiders have a good power run game, too. So the Chiefs got a phenomenal barometer of where they are at against power run teams. And that's the type of style they're going to face in the playoffs at some point. That's the type of style the Patriots brought to the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game last year. So the Chiefs know what they need to work on. And they're going to have to continue to work on that. And that's going to be a work in progress. And the thing I'm going to tell people, because I kept getting in my mentions on the Twitter, is that this football team has had three games together defensively. So, I mean, where they're at right now is not where they're going to be in the playoffs. And you got to go through game situations to be able to get comfortable with each other, how this person's going to react, how that person's going to react to stuff. And there's certain things I think the Chiefs were willing to give today to be able to take away Lamar Jackson and his ability.
And to that point, I mean, Lamar Jackson's longest run was 9 yards. It was for a touchdown, and right. he did stitch a few clown suits out there for guys. But Lamar Jackson's going to do that to a lot of people. I mean, there's no shame if you're a defensive end like Alex Okafor and you fall for an okey-doke, you know. I thought Alex Okafor actually had a pretty darn good game overall. You know, and obviously you would like Tyrann Mathieu to keep his head up, see what he's hitting, and not, you know, dive right past Lamar Jackson at the goal line on that one touchdown run. But again, Tyrann Mathieu had a really good football game. I mean, Tyrann had easily his best game with the Chiefs, you know, and on balance, they did enough to win the football game. And I still see improvement compared to last year. You know, I mean, at least when the Chiefs defense takes the field, you know, there's not a sense of hopelessness, you know, like there was last year. And you think about it. Look, if Juan Thornhill makes a clean sack on what ended up being a Hail Mary duck that may or may not have had pass interference, you know, that set up one of the touchdowns. And if Charvarius Ward just knocks down the ball on another throw, you know, way back across the field when Lamar Jackson extended a play, there's a couple times the defense is literally an inch away from salting that game away far earlier than it was. And in the end, once the Chiefs ran that screen pass, there was really they weren't really threatened in the end, I didn't think. But let's hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes about this game against the Ravens and what their thoughts are coming out of 33-28 victory.
I was proud of our guys, in particular the defense, for bearing down in the tough times. So fourth down calls, two-point plays, those ended up being big for us. First of all, that's a good football team there. And their two big passing plays were really what makes that quarterback great. I mean, he put it up in bad conditions, you know, but made plays. So he's a heck of a player. John Harbaugh's done a great job with that team over the years. I think this is his 11th year, but I'm proud of him for the job he's done.
They got me on a few pressures today as far as they were flipping the pressures and getting me, but at the same time, I was able to adjust quicker and kind of have more success earlier in the game.
Yeah, I mean, this was the second straight game. That was Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, by the way, in case you're new to Chiefs Kingdom. This is the second straight game they failed to score in the first quarter. Also, the second straight game they scored almost immediately in the second quarter and then could not be stopped the rest of the way until halftime. You know, they got down 6-0 early and then rattled off 23 straight points going into halftime. Are you concerned at all about those struggles or given what Baltimore does, did you think it would take the Chiefs some time to settle in?
Here's the reality I'm going to throw at you.
I'm ready. I got my mitt up. I'm going to catch it.
I doubt it. You're going to fumble it. Now, here's what I'm going to say. Every team, you are going to take their best shot right now. You're going to get the best of every single NFL team you're going against defensively. Doesn't matter if they're one of the worst in the league and don't have personnel, you're getting everything that everybody has right now, which is what the Patriots have gotten for 17 years in some regards. You are going to get the best from every NFL team. They're going to throw their best at you in that first quarter because they're just trying to hold on for dear life in that football game on both sides of the football.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, look at John Harbaugh. And, I mean, going for two right away, going for fourth down, you know, at every opportunity he got. He knew what they were up against.
Yeah. And every coach will. And every and I wouldn't be surprised if more coaches don't try that stuff. That's just the reality of what's going to happen. I mean, the Chiefs are going to get some creative plays thrown against them. They're going to get some pressures, some rushes. They're going to see some coverages they haven't seen before each and every week. And that's why sometimes you're going to have some of those slow starts. You may have not had that necessarily against Jacksonville, but you had everybody healthy at that point. You had Tyreek on the field. Tyreek Hill wrecks so many defenses just with his speed in terms of how much respect they have to give him. But like I said last week, Robinson's being forced to step up. Mecole Hardman's being forced to step up. The running backs are being forced to step up. So by the time Tyreek Hill comes back, all those guys have comfortable roles. And then Tyreek's given the defense's fits with two to three people having to account for him every play. So that's what I'm saying. In all honesty, for the long term of this football team, I want to keep seeing the Chiefs have to take other teams' best shots. Because here's the thing. Some of those early Chiefs teams back in 14, 15, 16, they may have not been able to weather some of those storms and be like, all right, you know, we may need to get this figured out. They don't have that same mentality. They're okay with being down at times. And it showed in that AFC Championship game last year when the Chiefs were down, when they were down in New England in the regular season, when they were down in Denver, if I remember correctly, in Denver on the Monday night game or, in the AFC Championship game. They are okay with not performing at their best, but they make sure they put levels of greatness together that teams just can't overcome. And I know you haven't seen the perfect game from the Chiefs yet. You've seen some impressive performances, but I don't want to see their best right now. I just want them to get wins, and I want them to put it together when December and January roll around. We see that to where it's not just a quarter, it's not just a handful of series, it's them dominating in a way that we haven't seen before, and they have a level of ruthlessness in the run defense and pressure and everything combined. I want to see that when it matters. I don't care if we do it in the regular season. Show me when it matters to go to a championship.
To your point about guys stepping up, I mean, obviously didn't have Damien Williams today, but Darrell Williams has 9 carries, 62 yards, and also 5 catches for 47 yards, one of which proved quite important. LeSean McCoy gutted it out, and he had another good game. Didn't see Darwin Thompson as much as maybe you would have expected.
And I'm not surprised by that.
Or hoped, maybe.
Well, here's the reality that you have with Darwin Thompson. The Ravens, from a pressure perspective, they can bring you a lot of looks that you probably didn't see in college and you may have not seen in training camp. And you have this guy called the franchise back there. So you want reliable pass blockers that have seen it and been there before. So Thompson, really, you have to utilize more as a receiver and when you're guaranteed to be running the football. So in those situations, you wanted to use them in those times where they knew the ball was coming, they knew the ball was going to be run. You didn't want to put them in situations to where pass protection's coming in the franchise. You got to decide, especially with the way that end was coming off the right side over there, or that backer. Mm-mm. No, thank you.
Speaking of which, the Chiefs, I think Cam Irving cost the Chiefs probably a field goal opportunity on the first drive, but I thought the rest of the game, he pulled himself together, look, he didn't play to the level of Eric Fisher or anything like that, but he didn't let Patrick get beat to hell and back.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you hope for on the offensive line. Is there,
well, was it better than you expected to see? Because I know that Irving's not a guy that you have absolute trust in, right?
Well, I mean, he's more of a guard in my book, but we'll he's doing the best he can at the position with the availability that he has in terms of skill set. So, I mean, I'm not frustrated with him to where I'm like, come on, you can do better than that. I think he's doing the best he can, and I think he's playing a position that doesn't necessarily fully fit his skill set. But I mean, overall, the offensive line, they did what they had to against a really tough physical front this week, and they faced a tough physical front last week.
Who were you more impressed with today stepping up as a receiver? Mecole Hardman Jr., who had the big touchdown, or DeMarcus Robinson, who followed up on a big performance last week with another big performance today? I mean, that one-handed catch that he made for the 18-yard touchdown pass, and then the play he made on the sideline, just spectacular plays. It doesn't get better than that in the NFL.
Well, I mean, DeMarcus Robinson on that touchdown pass, what they were doing right there is they did a corner route, obviously, Mahomes had pressure coming off his left side, but he saw it the entire way, and so he knew what was coming, and he just dropped back to give himself more time, threw off the back foot. Robinson ran the corner route as best as he could, and Patrick was aiming for the landmark, which was the back pylon. So that's where he was going. He trusted a receiver to know to go get it at that spot, and Robinson went up, and he made a really good grab, and they were able to get a touchdown off of it. But that's Mahomes' throw is impressive as all can be on that one. It was a fantastic throw, and I think only Favre and Rodgers are the only two other quarterbacks that I think can make it throwing from that platform without having the proper footwork and as other quarterbacks would probably need. I mean, those are the only other two guys I can think of. Maybe Randall Cunningham or maybe Vic, maybe Culpepper. But I know for sure, too, that I've seen do it to that level before. So, no, I mean, it was that was an impressive play, Hardman. That was a busted coverage, and they manipulated that, and that was a wrap on that one.
Oh, yeah, rest in peace, Earl Thomas's mentions on that one.
Hey, I mean, you know, he stopped that big run though. He kept it from being a touchdown after 41 yards.
Well, when you say you're going to stop big plays, and then big plays happen anyway.
Seven, I believe.
Yeah, it is. Seven. It is what it is. But I mean, that's what the Chiefs do. Big play offense. I mean, again, Patrick Mahomes, 27 of 37, 374 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. I mean, those are incredible numbers for most quarterbacks. And I think that, you know, it's fairly pedestrian for Patrick Mahomes to do that week in and week out, because we've seen it week in and week out for, you know, what, 20 straight starts now?
All I know is I'm never taking it for granted. I'm still amazed at every throw that I'm like, that should not be humanly possible. That's not even possible in Madden the video game. But he does stuff that you're rarely going to see a quarterback ever do. And like, you got to appreciate those moments. And I'm appreciating every one of them because I watch a lot of Chiefs quarterbacks. And this is the best one yet.
Speaking of which, one of the best plays of the night was that screen pass on 3rd and 9. Not a long throw, not a lot to it, but let's hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes on the play that salted away the victory.
So what we do is he has the whole game plan. So Saturday night we go through and we hit those type of situations. What would you like? We ask each quarterback what he'd like if it was this situation. So, you know, it's a 4-minute situation, 3rd and 10, you know. And so that was his play for that situation, but that was already in the game plan.
We had set it up last week by running the actual little pump pass thing out there, and so we knew, especially with the Ravens, they have a good veteran group of guys, so they saw the exact same formation and kind of thought we were going that way, and we were able to kind of slip them out the back door and give them the pass and get the first down.
I mean, how cool is that? First of all, that Andy and Patrick would let you in on that little secret. You know, but also to know that, I mean, these guys are playing chess right now, and everybody else, even the Ravens defense, as vaunted as it's been for the last two decades, is playing checkers with these guys.
That's what happens when you have fast and talented skill players.
All right, anything else you want to mention on the offense? Anything else you think was noteworthy?
No, not this time. We'll find out on Jacob's Eye in the Sky on Tuesday if that changes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is worth mentioning Travis Kelce. I mean, nice block on LeSean McCoy's touchdown run to get the offense cranked up. And once again, the Baltimore Ravens, they're very good at a lot of things. Defending Travis Kelce is not one of them.
Well, I mean, I was honestly really surprised how often they left the middle of the field wide open for Kelce to work. I didn't anticipate that one because I thought the Chiefs were going to attack more outside the numbers and the deep ball. And they in doing so, I think the Ravens thought that too, and they left the middle more open than I anticipated.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, then we'll be back here on 4th and 1 to discuss the defense.
One town, one team. One MVP. This season, a new flame will rise. Get ready, Casey. It's showtime. 41 Action News, your new home of the Chiefs.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza. The season changes, but an accurate forecast doesn't. Gary Lezak and the 41 Action News weather team. Certified most accurate. Available 24-7 on every screen, no matter the season. 41 Action News, Kansas City's weather leader.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Don't know if you guys heard it, 41 Action News, now the home of the Chiefs. Be sure to check out Chiefs Insider at 6:30 p.m. and 10:30 a.m. On 41 Action News. 6:30 p.m. Saturday, 10:30 a.m. Sunday. You can also catch it on 38 The Spot at 10:30 p.m. on Saturdays. So, 65 Toss Power Trap does a great job producing that. A lot of cool segments, good information if you're a Chiefs fan. So be sure to check that out on our airwaves.
I liked it so much, I watched it 3 times this weekend.
Really?
Yes.
All right. What was your favorite part?
All of it. All of it. No, some of the mic'd up stuff was really cool to be able to see. But
the access they get is unlike access anybody else can get, right? So
I would hope so.
They do some good stuff with it. I mean, the crew over there, you know, BJ Kissel and those guys do a good job putting everything together.
And I'm going to give a shout out to the MVP, Evan Miller. Does
Evan
a great
Miller.
Job out there.
There you go.
He was the one who actually edited the Randy Reed thing. Eric Stone Street did. Evan's been at 65.
Wait, TV. That wasn't. It's not really Andy's brother.
Right, you just
okay. Spoiler. You need to say spoiler alert before you
trying to give Evan a prop here, and you go and ruin Evan's one shining.
You ruined the whole thing for me. I thought that was really Andy's brother.
So, I mean, do you talk during one shining moment whenever that happens too?
Yeah, sometimes. Only if I'm around KU fans.
All right, you got anywhere else to go, or are we just going to take this segment?
I was going to pile drive it into the ground. Yeah, okay. I was going to. That's my DDT move.
Sorry about that, Evan. You better apologize to Evan when you.
I'm sorry, Evan. I'm sorry.
I'm going to introduce him to you sometime, and I'll be like, "This is the guy who tried to ruin your shining moment on the podcast."
One shining moment. All right, you know what? I'll put that song on my phone, and then when I meet him, I'll repay it. Well, okay.
Good luck to you.
All right. Sounds good. Hey, let's just kick it off. Let's hear from Tyrann Mathieu, Anthony Hitchens, Frank Clark, and Chris Jones on the defensive performance. Obviously, a lot of things to clean up, but like I said, good enough to win this week.
You know, I think at the end of the day, it's all about us, you know, just playing defense and limiting all their playmakers, which I thought, you know, Breland did a good job on, Marquise Brown, and obviously their tight ends weren't really active. Lamar's a playmaker. He's going to make plays, but I thought overall, you know, we kind of showed up today.
We did our job. We got the win. That's first and foremost. But like he said, we did play good at times. But if we want to be great in this league, it can't be, you know, stretches. Stretches get you beat. Fortunate enough that the stretches we played bad, our offense was getting 7. But we're going to clean it up. We're still early in the season. We're still working. We got a lot of good guys that want to get better. Take the blame. That's my fault, you know, and we get it right.
Start playing sound football at the end of the day. You know, I said all the time, it's not perfect, you know, but if you play, you know, the technique enough, you know, you make those plays that you need to win the game. And I feel like we made the necessary plays, you know. You had some mislaps here and there. He threw a few balls up that was, you know, questionable, you know, the PI, the offensive PI, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you know, our DBs held fast. You know, our D-line held fast. We kept getting after it. You know, we kept putting pressure on it as the end of the game came. As you've seen, we put more pressure on them for them to force some of those mistakes, and like I said, we got off the field.
The rushing yards triple after halftime. You know, as a defense, you don't like that. You don't like that, and you got to kind of be consistent with it, especially on defense when you got the lead coming out of halftime. You kind of want to put the foot on their throat, no pun intended, and just, you know, dominate the game right there. But I feel like we kind of let them back in the game. You know, the quarterback made some big-time plays. Kudos to him. They came out of halftime battling, and we as a defense, we got to step up and finish them when we have them.
So that was Tyrann Mathieu, Anthony Hitchens, Frank Clark, and Chris Jones talking about the defensive performance. And what stood out to we were discussing it as we listened to it. What stood out is most of the guys seem pretty happy. Chris Jones is the one who's demanding accountability. You know, Chris Jones didn't seem too pleased with that performance overall. He credited Lamar Jackson. So I want to ask you, how much credit does Lamar Jackson deserve for the plays that they made versus how much of it was the defense faltering?
Oh, it's Lamar Jackson's offense. It runs through him. I mean, the threat of him running and taking off on the edge, and the threat of him taking off and scrambling. I mean, that's what this offense is built around. That's what defenses fear. They fear that, and they fear the tight ends being able to make plays, and they fear Marquise Brown. I mean, the run games, honestly, it's an added bonus that they take advantage of because of the threat of Jackson around the edges. That's really what that comes down to. And I mean, I think progressively for all the defense combined, I think they understand. I think each one of them understands that there's work ahead. Some of the guys are trying to find the positives right now so that they can build up to it. And I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't sound like anybody's satisfied overall. It seems like all of them are like, hey, you know, we did some stuff here. We kind of see what we need to do, but we made some moments, and we're going to work to continue to put this all together. So, I think this team is happy that they're winning right now, but I think overall, I think they all have laser focus about what they're really after.
You know, you've talked a lot. We've talked about this a lot of times on the podcast already this season about how where this team's at now versus where the team's at in week 8 defensively is going to be dramatically different. And you can't really say, you can't really make definitive statements about what this defense is until, you know, we're halfway through the season. You get to see what this defense is really going to be. But having said that, do you expect this defense to start cashing in on the missed opportunities? We talked about there were some opportunities for sacks that they didn't come up with. There were opportunities for interceptions that they, four or five that they didn't come up with today. Is that an area that, you know, you expect things to turn around for this defense, that as they build into it, as they get more comfortable with it, they start turning the tide, making those big time plays?
Yeah, I expect kind of. My barometer is kind of that week 8 to 12 range right there in terms of when they can finish some of those plays, get some of those turnovers, get some of those sacks, be able to jump on some of those routes and get the pick. So, I mean, it could have been a turnover, but I would have been fine if he just knocked it down like a volleyball. It was the one Charvarius Ward was kind of waiting for, like a punt rather than just
attacking.
Just box out the receiver, smack the ball down, and let's move on. Instead, Snead ended up coming up with the catch on that one. That was a big one. They threw across his body. That Lamar threw across his body and should have been picked by somebody, but worst case, just knock the ball down and it's 4th and 17.
Yeah.
That was when
I don't think they would have gone for that one.
I honestly, they might have. I'm not sure with them. They left me on edge in that regard. But no, I mean, yeah, you want to see it in the coming weeks. You want to see them be able to get some of those moments overall. I mean, Frank Clark had the big one as I believe Conrad on Twitter said, and I made sure I retweeted that, was he called it a backpack sack.
Backpack.
Oh, that's the greatest thing I've heard from the day. So that was my favorite tweet of the day. But, you know, Clark made a big one, a big interception, big sack there. Whenever he took the tackle wide and did a spin move right into Jackson and came up with a big moment right there that they needed at that time.
Yeah, I mean, forced a field goal opportunity kind of killed the drive.
And then Ogba played out of his mind most of the game, really did a really, really good job. And then, Okafor, I'm going to say.
You saw that coming, right? Emmanuel Ogba, I mean, you knew when they traded for him he was going to be a potential difference maker, right?
Honestly, I mean, I'd been clamoring for him on Twitter for
He's
a little
been
while.
Playing,
to
be a rotational guy. Really, really well.
I mean, but the one that people are gonna play it over and over again and make fun of the play when Okafor got juked. People are gonna make fun of the part where he got juked. But I'm telling you, on that play right there, that closing speed that he had against Lamar Jackson and the leverage that he kept the entire line of scrimmage, so Jackson still had to survey the field and couldn't just take off with a full head of steam out of that pocket. that kept that play from probably turning into a big explosive play overall, because he had to it bought times for the safety and Sorensen to come down. I think it might have been Tyron or a corner, and then Sorensen. It gave them time to both come closer and to be able to kind of corral that run to where it would have been, it could have been a really big explosive play if Okafor is not there to be able to do that. Now, did he get juked at that moment? Yeah, and is everybody going to make fun of that? Sure. But what he did, that kept that from being a massive, massive momentum swing.
And I'll say this. Every one of you listening right now would have looked far more silly and probably hurt yourself trying to make that tackle. So just think about that.
That's funny, because I heard somebody talking about you wanting to play corner last week.
I didn't say that's different than defensive end.
No, that's fine, but some people I've heard.
Oh, I would have locked down. Marquise Brown would not have caught a pass on me today.
Okay. Is that because you would have...
I would have pulled my hamstring in the first play. I would have been out.
So, I mean, technically, you'd be right, yeah.
Yeah, no, totally, totally. Hey, let's hear from the Ravens. And we got several guys talking about the aggressiveness of both offenses today coming out of this one.
You know, kept us off beat for the most part. You know, they had some success moving the chains, keeping the ball going, time of possession. You know, got some deep balls on us, kind of stretches a little bit as a defense. Just some things for us to clean up, man. We're happy it happened in week three, so we can go back to the drawing board and get better as a unit, get better as a team.
It's an aggressive mindset, and you play an offense like that that's so explosive. And, you know, if, you know, those things would have went our way, you know, it would have been a little different. So you can look at it either way. You know, obviously they didn't go our way today, and, you know, that's tough. But, again, we got to execute better, and you know, I love the aggressive mindset.
Coming here to a hostile environment, you know, one of the better teams in the league, everyone says. And we went toe-to-toe with them. We played aggressive, and we got to make sure we execute so we have our coaches back for believing in us. So I love the aggressive mindset. We knew we were going to come in here aggressive offensively and defensively. And, yeah, we got to make those plays.
So that was former Chiefs cornerback Brandon Carr, Mark Andrews, and then Mark Ingram. Ingram went over 100 yards. Ingram had a very good day. Talking about the aggressiveness, talking about Harbaugh's, you know, they kept talking about him gambling, you know, going for those fourth downs and stuff like that. And look, I mean, you can talk about that aggressiveness all you want, but it bit him hard one time when they set up the Chiefs at the Baltimore 47. And that was part of that second quarter that allowed the Chiefs to get some distance and really. You know, kind of put the game away by halftime. I mean, because I know halfway through that quarter, you're thinking, oh, man, this could be a real dogfight, you know. And then after that series, when the Chiefs were able to go down and get, I think that made it 20-6 at that point, you know, you start feeling a little bit more comfortable about where the Chiefs were sitting.
Yeah. I would not have gone for it as much as he did. I understand his thought process in it. He knew how explosive the Chiefs were, and he knew that he was going to have to continue to try to keep chasing those opportunities to kind of be able to keep within range. But unfortunately, it didn't work out for him. I was expecting some fake punts, but oh man, that one, the drop kick. That's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I mean, I know Fouts on the broadcast was talking about how poorly executed it was. Like, yeah, because people don't do that very often. That's the first time I've ever seen that in football, and I watch a lot of football. So to be able to see that, I was like, oh man, that's cool.
I think the only other time I've seen it was the fair catch when the Patriots did it for a field goal, where you, I don't know, this was a couple years ago. Well, probably a decade ago now. Right. That's the only time I can remember seeing a drop kick. I think Doug Flutie was involved.
Yeah, Flutie was normally involved in those for the Patriots, so it was quite a while ago.
Yeah, so it may have been more than 10 years ago.
Yeah, a little bit.
It might have been 1982 now that I think about it.
Certainly possible, Todd.
All right. Hey, I still think the defense is getting better. I still think that you see positive strides from a lot of different guys. You know, Damian Wilson, Kendall Fuller, both led the team in tackles today. You know, I mean, I think guys are, you know, Fuller's playing better than he did at times last year. I mean, this on balance, what the Chiefs did today, given the weather, given the opponent, you got to be pleased with it. So anyway, we're going to check the tweets here on the other side. Nick, did anybody have any questions about coming out of this one?
Yeah, I bet there's a couple about Jalen Ramsey, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll have to get to that here on the other side of the break.
Cutting the cable cord? 41 Action News is now on Roku. Search KSHB. Add our channel and you're set. All of our newscasts stream live. No other station in Kansas City can say that. Get clear, complete coverage on 41 Action News now on Roku.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza. One town, one team, one MVP. This season, a new flame will rise. Get ready, KC. It's showtime. 41 Action News, your new home of the Chiefs.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, of course, everybody knew the Chiefs would be facing back-to-back undefeated opponents. Well, I mean, I guess three straight undefeated opponents at this time of year, right? The Raiders were undefeated when the Chiefs played them. The Ravens were undefeated. And, of course, the old Detroit Lions. We all knew they'd be undefeated going into this matchup, right?
I'm surprised, but we will see how it works out next week.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, that'll be the next matchup. But it when you watch the NFL, you know, look at the scores, look at the highlights, whatever. Is this already setting up as Chiefs Patriots all over again, when, you know, at least through 3 weeks?
I mean, I think that's kind of the expectation. We'll end up seeing what happens.
I mean, they've separated themselves clearly, right?
Yeah, at their current level of play right now, yeah, both those teams are kind of, it looks like they're on the collision course, but we'll see how the season goes and how injuries go, and that may change, and it may be, maybe the Ravens get involved somehow, and maybe there's some other team we don't know about right now that just that comes on strong.
I don't know. I'm going to say Chiefs-Patriots. Hey, by the way, I don't know how we didn't talk about this in the A block, but guess who's played more games than any other player in Kansas City Chiefs history?
I'm just going to let you say it so you can have all the joy in the world.
It's Dustin Colquitt.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I'm so surprised.
It's Dustin Colquitt. So, anyway, hey, Andy Reid also passed Chuck Knoll this week. He is now alone in what, sixth on the all-time list for coaching victories in the NFL. Are you impressed?
Yeah. Andy Reid's done a phenomenal job in Kansas City. I'm not surprised one bit about anything he's done here.
All right. Hey, let's get to the tweets, man. Let's do this. Let's light this candle.
Oh, we like stealing my, my catchphrases, do we?
I'm pretty sure I was the first one of us to say it.
I'm pretty sure that's a bold-faced lie. But you know what? Whatever, Todd.
I don't use bold-faced.
Cody asked, why after all these years and all the offseason effort to stop the run, they still can't stop the run?
I mean, I would say, look, that was the Baltimore Ravens. This is not the first nor the last team that the Baltimore Ravens will run the ball well against. They had the two long sustained drives to start both halves, but I actually thought that they played okay outside of those two drives the rest of the time. I mean, think about the you know, when they went for two and they, you know, kind of went student body left with Lamar Jackson, and you had Derek Nnadi and Frank Clark and other guys out there blowing that play up. I think they had some good moments. I think they also had some bad ones. They also got lucky when a long run got called back on a phantom holding penalty. But, I mean, I think the Chiefs' run defense has actually been improved this year. And, I'm still much more concerned about the secondary.
Lloyd Russell asks, do you think the Chiefs will get Ramsey?
I guess you didn't put the no Ramsey qualifier on there, huh? Look, man, I mean, I think the expectation was that this thing would get done late last week after the Jacksonville Jaguars played on Thursday. Honestly, the longer it goes, the more I expect Jacksonville to just be stubborn about it and hold on to him. So unless Jalen Ramsey wants to go full Antonio Brown, and I don't suggest anyone go full Antonio Brown, but unless he wants to do that and force his way out of Jacksonville, maybe the Jaguars are inclined to keep him.
Now, Ranch Cool Dion asks, does Pat get 6,000 yards this year, and why does Todd hate the jet sweep?
I wasn't aware that I hated the jet sweep.
I don't know, but no, that was a statement that was made.
I have no idea where that came from. I've never indicated that I didn't like the jet sweep. In fact, I was a big fan of the Altoona Midway Jets when they would run the jet sweep. It made me laugh. I don't have a problem with the jet sweep. I think the jet sweep is better when Tyreek Hill is in there to run it. Look, as far as 6,000 yards, Patrick Mahomes will get as many yards as he can convince Andy Reid to let him get. So if that's 6,000 and Andy Reid's cool with that, then, yeah, he can get 6,000.
All right, and Ryan Patrick Dolan asks, I've been saying for a year that Darrell Williams is Spencer Ware 2.0. They had identical combine numbers and size out of LSU. What say you? He also picked up multiple blitzes today. How impressive was he? To me, he anchored his spot on the roster.
Well, I mean, clearly he's ahead of Darwin Thompson, which I think would surprise a lot of people, at least for this game. I would also, look, he had, I think, 9 carries for 62 yards. That included a 41-yarder. So before we anoint him as the next Spencer Ware, Barry Word, Christian Okoye, let's see him show some consistency with it. But, I mean, he had a heck of a game today. There's no way around that. He doesn't have the same explosiveness that or the same vision that LeSean McCoy or Damian Williams have. So he's not that guy. But he showed today that he can help you win football games, and ultimately that's what keeps you on a roster.
And that's all for this edition of Check the Tweets.
And that's all for this edition of 4th and 1, guys. We will be back next week to talk about the upcoming heartbreak for our friends Terrez Paylor and Darius Smith when the Chiefs go to Detroit. They're back on the road. This will be the third time in 4 games. But all these road games mean that October is going to be fun for Chiefs fans wanting to go to games at Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm. Especially some primetime ones on NBC.
What? Are there going to be primetime games in October on 41 Action News?
I mean, it's actually, if you look at what's coming up here, I mean, Chiefs, they're going to have the Colts at home. They're going to have the Texans at home. Then
Packers at home.
Then you go to the Broncos, I think, yep, on a Thursday night, yep, on the road. And
then you get a couple extra days to prepare for the Packers on Sunday nights.
Packers on Sunday Night Football. I mean, they got 3 or 4 quality teams coming up here it's going to be very interesting.
Can't overlook the undefeated Detroit Lions, though, and we will talk about what to expect from that matchup later in the week. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. We really appreciate it. We hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of 4th and 1.